Good religion comes from a good God. And we serve a good God. And He's always good. And I thank Him for being good to me. I'm not talking about because He's blessed me materially or financially. He's just been good to me. And when He stepped up on Calvary's cross and allowed them to nail Him to the cross to die for our sins, that's as good as it gets. That is as good as it gets. Let's look at Ephesians. We're going to wrap up. You guys say, no. We're going to wrap up Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to take 2 weeks off to talk about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we're going to pick right back up at chapter 5 in April. But today we're going to look at some really just fascinating verses found in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at 24 through 32 and speak from the subject, living like a new creature. Living like a new creature. Amen. See if you see it. See if you see the title of it in the text. I was talking to young Justin. And I said, put the title on last. Amen. Amen. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Oh, amen. Amen. That's a lot of meat. Father God, that's a lot of scripture. Father, we need your strength today. And Father, it takes the Holy Ghost to put on this new man. We can't dress ourselves. We need your power, Father God, today. It takes your power, Father God, for us to put away lying. Because we were born lying. Father God, we don't want to be angry, but anger is in us. And it takes your strength to suppress the anger. Father God, it's not in us to be tender-hearted and kind to one another. But Father God, you've been so good to us. You've been kind to us. You've been merciful to us. You've saved us by your grace. And we just thank you, Father God. Father God, it's so hard sometimes to say just something nice to somebody. But God, if we think about how nice you've been to us, It should not be hard for us to be nice to someone. Because you were so nice to us that you died on Calvary's cross. You were so nice to us, you let them slap you in your face and spit on you. You were so nice to us, you let them slam a crown of nails on your head. And then that wasn't enough, Father God. You allowed them to stretch you wide and to nail rusted, dirty nails into your hands and feet. And that wasn't nice enough, Father God. When we stood out in the crowd mocking you and saying, if you saved others, save yourself. You said, Father, forgive them. They just a bunch of unsaved knuckleheads. Father, I just thank you this morning for saving this knucklehead. For putting some sense into me when I thought I had it all together. Father God, you came into my life and set me free. And I thank you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm getting carried away there. Amen. That's right. I got good reasons. God is so good. God is so good. Some of you young folks in here, some of you grandmas and great grandmothers, I know some of y'all seen the movie Shrek. Anybody seen the movie Shrek? Anybody seen, did I say it right? Shrek. Some of y'all seen Shrek 1? Well, I want to talk about Shrek 2 today. Y'all remember Shrek 2? I ain't going to say Shrek right now, so y'all just say, bear with me. Y'all just bear. Somebody say it one time for me. Shrek. 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 What about to say ogre? Ogre. Okay. Y'all remember Ogre and the Donkey? Okay, this is Ogre's Ogre 2. Shrek 2. So they... I ain't worried about it now. I'm on guard. So they in the palace now. They in the palace. And they looking for this beauty potion. I'm going to call that the Holy Ghost. Just for illustration purposes. So they fighting and trying to get up this thing, and they knock over this cabinet, and the beauty potion fall down on them, pour all over them. And Ogre became a handsome prince. And Donkey became a beautiful stallion. Amen? Y'all with me? Now, see, when the Holy Ghost come on us, we become something beautiful. I mean, our sins are forgiven. That's beauty enough. Our sins have been forgiven. So we now beautiful. We've been made new in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, a new creature ought to act like a new creature. Now, if the old creature was an old junkyard dog, and the new creature was qualified to be in the dog show, they're going to live different. Amen. They're going to eat different. Yeah. Ogre didn't want to be a beautiful prince. Ogre wanted to go back to the swamp. Proverbs say, so as the dog returned to his own vomit, a fool returns to his folly. Ogre wanted to go back to being ogre. He didn't want to be beautiful. He didn't want to be a prince. He wanted to go back to ogre, to the swamp, eating bugs, blowing gas off in the water. So we got a lot of saved folks. Got the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Spirit. But want to go back to the swamp. Want to live their former life. But want to claim to be Holy Ghost filled. See, we need some folks like Donkey. See, Donkey didn't want to go back. When Donkey got saved, when Donkey got the Holy Spirit, Donkey said, look at me. I'm a stallion. He said, I can count. He said, I can wham. He did the horse thing. He said, I can strut. And when Donkey found out he had to go back to being Donkey, he was upset. He was mad. And see, we ought to be like Donkey. God has done some wonderful things to us. And Paul knew this in his scripture. Paul knew this. And last week we talked about putting off some things. We talked about putting off the former conversation, that former way of life, the former things that we used to do. And Paul comes today, he says that you put on.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like putting on a fresh set of clothes. Some fresh, a hot, fresh shower, some fresh underwear, a fresh t-shirt, some fresh pajamas, getting to a bed with some fresh sheets. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. You working outside all day, you got grime on, take a nice shower, and then you put on some new stuff. God in the person of Jesus Christ is saying that we ought to put on the new man. How about that? That's generic. The new woman too. Okay? He said we ought to put on the new man, which is after God. Which is after God. Okay? It's not after man. It's not after what we read and what we watch on TV. It's after God. And we know that God is a God of righteousness. God is a God of righteousness. And He has called us to be righteous. He says, it is created into righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
Now, we talk about holiness a lot here.
Amen.
But the Word of God says, without holiness, no man should see the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm going to preach holiness. As long as I'm here, I'm going to preach about being holy and living holy. And I'm not just preaching it for you, I'm preaching it for me.
Amen.
Preachers need to hear holiness preached too. And they need to preach it. He said, put on this new man, which is created after God and His righteousness and true holiness. And then he talks about putting off some stuff. Because, see, God knew that sin would follow you into the church. Now, God is speaking here. Paul is speaking here to the church. Look at it. Ephesians, just turn to chapter 1. And this is important, because I think people forget who this letter is addressed to. This letter is addressed to the people of God. Okay? And Paul knew that there was going to be some mess in the church. And he was being proactive. He was being prophetic. He was a prophet. He was an apostle. Paul said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Not by the will of man. He was being specific because he knew folks were not going to want to hear this from no man.
Amen.
Don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. When I asked God, I said, God, I want to serve your people. What I need to preach? And Ephesians kept coming through. Preach through Ephesians. That's difficult. Folks don't want to hear. Listen to what Paul says. When you see Paul say, by the will of God, that means he is proclaiming his apostolic authority to preach this word.
Amen.
He didn't have to do that to the Philippian church, but they wanted to hear. But this one here, he had to say, I am an apostle called by God to the saints at Ephesus and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. But you know what? Even if you're in Jesus Christ, there will be mess. There will be mess. Paul, in verse number 24, he says, in verse number 25, excuse me, he said, stop lying and tell the truth. Stop lying and tell the truth. Paul saying lying disrupts the body of Christ. Okay? Lying disrupts the body of Christ. Because he said we are all members one to another. Now, if we all members one to another, okay? If one member of the body lies to another member of the body, you can cause them problems. Let me give you an illustration. If you're walking down the street and you see a snake, a rattler with the tail shaking, and I say, well, I'm mad at the foot. I'm not going to tell the foot about that rattler. And the rattlesnake bite the foot. Who suffers? The whole body. The whole body. Let me give you one more. If you eat dinner and you got a fork in your hand, well, if the brain is mad at the eye, there you go. And the brain says, well, put that food in your eye instead of your mouth. See, and I know those are illustrations, but that's what it really looks like when the body is not functioning right.
Amen.
When there are folks lying to one another. Well, you know, what do you mean by lying? There's a lot of ways to lie.
Yeah.
Well, you know, little white lies, little baby lies. Well, I'm going to be there, I'm going to do this, and don't. I'm going to serve and don't serve. I love the Lord and don't act like you love the Lord.
Yeah.
This is what Paul says. He says, put away lying. Put it away. Cast it away. Get it away from you. And speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now that's interesting.
Amen.
Look at John 17:17. Short little verse. Jesus is saying the same thing here. He says, sanctify them. Sanctify them. Just immerse them and just saturate them through thy word. Through thy word. He says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. The only way we're gonna be delivered, the only way we're gonna be set free, the only way we're gonna be able to put off these sicknesses and these sins is to be saturated and sanctified in the truth. That's the only way. Now, Paul talking to Timothy in a scripture that we so very familiar with, especially here at Christian Bible Baptist. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I know we've read this before, just hang in there with me because I'm trying to saturate you guys in truth. I'm trying to brainwash you in the truth of God's word.
Amen.
So you be filled with the truth. So when somebody bump into you, truth come out.
Amen.
See, people talk about, show me your true colors. Paul's talking to Timothy here. Paul's on his deathbed. He's preached his whole saved life. He has, as verse number 6 said, I'm ready to be offered for the time of my departure is at hand. Paul gives Timothy these great exhortations here. He said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And his kingdom. Paul said, get these folks ready to meet the Lord. And that's the question. Folk, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Paul said, preach the word. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. He says, preach the word. How? Be instant, in season, and out of season. And that word instant in that text means be ready to stand. Be ready to stand. Be ready to reprove and rebuke and exhort. How? With all long suffering and doctrine. What is doctrine? Teaching. Instruction. God's people need instruction. We ought to desire to learn about the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul is saying. He says, for the time will come. Is it here, folks? Is it now? Is it right now? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The man of God that preaches sound doctrine will be ostracized and cast off. People don't want to hear it. I brought my people here and they ain't saved and they involved in some ill repute things, some immoral things, and you hurt their feelings. Good. Good. You ought to drag your loved ones in here that don't know the Lord and hope that they get some word in them. We ought to drag them here and hope and pray that something would just touch their hearts today. That something that would say it would cause them to repent and give their life to the Lord. That's what Paul says here. He says, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Just tickle their ear. Anybody sit behind you ever tickled your ear? Come on, stop. You know? That's what folks like. Paul didn't say tickle their ears. He said hit them hard. Hit them with some body shots. Work them over. So when they leave here, they'll have something in them. They'll have something in them. Listen. Paul said, stop lying. Tell the truth. Preach the word. Thy word is true. Listen. I was looking at this word lying. There's 61 times it's rebuked in the Bible. 61 times. Three times. The top three is in Proverbs. And in Proverbs 16, we're all familiar with it. God has a real problem with it. It's in Proverbs 6:16. You guys are familiar with it. Just listen. These six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Six things. Mm-hmm. Pay attention, folks. A proud look. Haughtiness. Contemptuous. Looking down on people. Thinking you all that. Thinking you better than folks. A proud look. A lying tongue. That's number two on the list of things that God hates. That's high on the list. Look at the numbers 2:1 in Proverbs 19. I'm going to stop right here with the lying. A false witness. Proverbs 19:5. A false witness shall not be unpunished. If you have a problem with lying, and some of y'all know folks, they open their mouth, you know they're lying.
Amen.
Somebody say, well, how you know they're lying? Because they talking. There's folks like that. How do you know they lying? Because they talking. Everything come out. This is what it says. A false witness or a liar shall not go unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. And to me and pastors that don't preach the word, I think that's the grossest of sins. God has called me to do one thing. Preach the word. He hasn't called me to be a candidate for president or a politician or on the school board or all that. I got one thing to do. Preach the word. Preach the word. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Look at verse 26 as we move on through Ephesians. We're going to get through Ephesians today. Listen. He says, somebody said okay? He says, be angry. That is not wrong with being angry. Jesus was angry. He talked about it in Mark 3 when he walked into that temple and the Pharisees said, put a man there. Set him up. And he looked around with anger. And he told a man to stretch forth his hand. He was angry at them folks when they brought that woman caught in the very act of adultery. They didn't bring the man. They just brought the woman. How are you going to catch two folks? and bring one. Obadiah was in trouble. But they brought the woman and set her down in front of Jesus and said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. We had cameras in the room. It's a setup. And Jesus knelt down. And I believe he was angry. And I believe he would start writing all those that brought the woman there, all their girlfriends' names. And they all look, ooh. Because that's how he said, oh. And he told the woman, rise up. Where are your accusers? So when you oh boy. Be careful with your anger. And be careful pointing your fingers. So somebody said when you point one at somebody, you got. Be angry. And there's nothing wrong with being angry. We ought to be angry at immorality. We ought to be angry at some of the rules and laws that are being passed in this country. We ought to be angry at some stuff.
Amen.
But he said, be angry and sin not. Shake that thing off. You got an ought with a brother? Go to him, rebuke him, reprove him, whatever you need to do. But move on from there. Don't harbor up sin. Don't harbor up anger in your heart. Yeah, as a stress management teacher from years ago, anger causes stress. Every time you get angry, every time you get upset, you release dangerous enzymes and chemicals in your body, which your body has to produce another chemical to calm you down. So every time you get angry, you hurt yourself. And most of the time, the folks' purpose you're angry at don't care. He said, be angry and sin not. Why? Why? You damage yourself. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? Why, Jesus? Why are you talking like this? Why is Paul talking like this? Because he knows. The longer you stay angry, the more Satan can work on you. Can use you. You putting yourself in a place you don't need to be. See, back in the day, folks get angry. And we had power antennas. And I see folks that poke somebody's power antenna off. Anger. Knock somebody's window out. Anger. Back in the day, when I was coming up to females, would all put some sugar in the brother's gas tank. Some of y'all women know about that. Y'all the reason they invented locking gas caps. He over their house, go buy a whole 5-pound bag of sugar. That's what was happening because we haven't handled the anger right. And I heard somebody praying for the marriages in here. If we would have been better at handling anger in our marriages would be so much smoother. And some of y'all have been married 30 years plus like myself, or 29, so they're going to correct me. Be 30 this year. You got to walk away from some things. You got to say, Evelina, you right. Go on into your man cave and shut the door. Chalk one up. Young Justin, you're going to learn these things. Kiera, you right. That's right. See, we can't let the sun go down on a rat. So you can't wake up mad at your wife. Because he one day leads to two. And 2 days lead to long periods of time. And I'm talking about what I know. Be angry and sin not. And let not the sun go down on your wrath. Why, Paul? Why? Because when you do that, you move into verse 27. When you do that, you give place to the devil. That word place right there means opportunity. That means that you open a door for Satan to come in to your marriage, into your home, or into your church. And now he's just going to sit there and instigate. And going to instigate because you have let him in. Be angry and sit. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks don't even go to church no more because they give a place to the devil. They allowed anger to come in, and instead of just moving, just go on, move, go on somewhere, and somewhere where you can worship the Lord like you've been called to. But don't just sit around and just, oh, I can stand that bald-headed pastor. Go to a church where the pastor got hair. And fellowship. You need to fellowship. You need to worship. We were geared up. We were set up. We were designed by God to worship Him. We were saved to glorify Him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, all you eat, drink, and do to the glory of God. We were made. We were saved. God saved us to glorify God. He didn't save us to be sitting around mad at each other. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Familiar verse. He in verse... Let's see. 23. He said, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. Hold it tight. Understand what God has done for us. For by grace are you saved through faith. And understand and hold that fast that you were saved by grace without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Look at verse 24. And let us consider one another. Let us be kind to one another. You're not being kind if you're sitting in church, you mad and angry. You brought Satan into the church with you. And now you have become disruptive and you got your boy with you. Amen. And he just like you sitting on his lap. Amen. He said, let us consider one another. That word consider there means let us love one another. Let us care about one another to provoke unto love and good works. If you're going to provoke someone, you want to provoke that person unto love. And under good works. You don't want to provoke no one in the house of God, a brother and sister, into anger. Or try to pull them into your mess. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. As the matter of some is. You know that? Folks ain't going to church no more because they've been hurt. They've been upset. You know what probably happened? You stayed there too long. Well, I ain't leaving this church. My grandmother, my great-grandmother, they buried in the backyard. This seat, I've been sitting in it so long, it smells like me. Got stickers and name tags all over the church. My grandmother bought that awning out there. That's right, that's my pew. I'm sitting there. Turn around and leave, somebody sitting in their seat. I know I'm right. Listen, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Let me tell y'all something, folks. If you don't see the day approaching, you ain't living in the real world. The day is approaching. It's approaching for your, if you have grandmothers and grandfathers and moms and dads, the day is approaching for them. And if they don't see God in you, they may not see it. You may be the only Bible they see. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Listen. It's important that we have the truth. That word is the truth. And we don't want to be caught without the Lord. We do not want to be angry for long periods of time, because it's hard to convince someone that you know the Lord when your fist always balled up and your mouth always frowned up. And we wonder why the church don't grow. And we wonder why people don't want to come when everybody in the church are angry and mad. We all love one another. And you ought to love your pastor. You ought to love your pastor. And I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor. You ought to love your pastor. You ought to love him. And I mean, I'm not saying that to get money. But I heard preachers preach it. Ah, if you love me, you give me some money. No, I'm not talking about that kind of love. You ought to love your pastor. And if you don't, you ought to find one to love. You ought to find one you love. Listen, you want to be angry? Look what God say. God is angry at the wicked every day. It's wicked. God is angry at the wicked every single day. How about this? We covered a lot of ground already, see? Look at verse 27. Going back to Ephesians. I thank God to hear the pages flipping. That's a beautiful sound. Look at verse 27. 28, he said, let him that stole steal no more. Just a contrast. You're talking about putting on the new man. If you steal, stop. This ain't that deep. There's a hard for me to believe you can be a thief and a Christian. You got all your company's tools. You got all, I mean, we had a guy when I worked at General Motors, he had an auto store. And he had all the brakes. Worked down over by the brake line, had all the brakes. Opened his locker up at work, had all the brakes in there. Taking them home every night. I know a man built his house on all the copper that he stole from General Motors. Born again, though. What kind of witness is that? What kind of witness is that? When you're coming home with the company stuff. Or you got the church's stuff. Listen. Let him steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good. That he may help somebody to have a need. There's folks in here that have needs. I tell these young people in here, you got a need. Young ladies in here, you got a need. You got an issue with hygiene or whatever. Talk to these people here. Talk to Miss Clark. Don't go without. Amen. That's what the church is all about. Yeah. It ain't about putting a Cadillac in the pastor's parking lot and making sure the pastor got a housing allowance and making sure the pastor got a benefit plan, insurance, and all that. Ain't no church in Youngstown for that. Amen. And then do ministry. Amen. Paying the pastor $78,000 a year, giving him a housing allowance, car insurance, paying all that. Listen. He's stealing.
Amen.
That's what it's saying. Let him that stole steal no more.
Amen.
Stealing. Robbing your people. You got to sell barbecue chicken to fix the windshield of the van. Oh, y'all know that. Selling fish. Raising money. Past the anniversary. We got to raise money. We selling fish dinners.
Amen.
Let's finish up. Y'all say, let's finish up. Look at this word, corrupt. That's a big word. That word means stinky. That means nasty. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. See, there's only one way we can stop that. Because the Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you got a language problem, you really don't have a language problem per se. You have a heart problem. Okay? So be careful what you entertain. Because I stopped at my dad's house Friday and rubbed his shoulder down, and you know he's feeling good. I'm gonna have to watch some of that stuff. Al Sharpton show. I'm like, I'm getting mad listening to him. I'm getting mad at the Republicans just listening to him. And see, we watch all that stuff and everything. Everything on HBO, everything on Cinemax, everything come on TV is about revenge. And I'm going to hit you. And I'm going to pay you back. And I watched a commercial. I've never seen a show called A Good Wife. And from what I've seen, the reviews of it, it wasn't nothing good about her. The Good Wife. Plotting. Killing. Setting folks up. I'm like, listen. Watch what you entertain. Watch what you allow to come into your world. Into your spirit. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, you got to watch what go in. But that which is good, listen, that which is good to the use of edifying, that ought to come out of your mouth. When you open your mouth, things that bring people together, things that encourage people. Jesus died to reconcile the world unto God, and we ought to be people of reconciliation. We ought to be trying to bring people closer together. Listen, this is what it says, that it may minister grace unto hearers. God is a God of grace. Paul knew that. Paul knew that he was a wretched man. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, oh, the chief of sinners, he called himself. Then he said, but God enabled him, putting him into the ministry. God had saved Paul by his grace. And Paul says, because we've been saved by grace, we ought to be ministers of grace. We ought to minister grace and love to everyone we come into contact with, if possible. We ought to minister grace unto anyone to hear us. Oh, I know that's difficult stuff. I know there's some folks hard to love. Don't get me wrong. I'm not being naive about this. There's some difficult folks. But you know what? Everybody we've been talking about in Mark chapter, we've been in chapter 1, 2, we're heading to 3. Everyone that Jesus encountered was difficult. When he walked by Levi, he said, Levi, follow me. Levi was difficult. He was a sinner. He was a publican. He was one of the worst, and God saved him. He touched a leper, and a leper was untouchable. It was rotten, untouchable. He touched the leper. Jesus dealt with the difficult. And you know what? Paul says it again. I said it earlier. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So you got some difficult nephews and difficult grandchildren. Keep on ministering grace into them. Keep ministering grace. Keep showing them love. They may be knuckleheads, but you got to keep on loving them. It is hard sometimes. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. It's hard sometimes to minister to ungrateful, unthankful folk. It's hard. You got to be on your knees. This kind of grace only comes from God. No manufacture it yourself. You got some difficult folks. Look what he's saying in verse 30. Oh, come on, Paul. Talk to us. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Listen. There's some folks going around here talking about the Holy Spirit ain't a person. Well, you can't grieve a spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a person. And it can be grieved. It can be upset. And we do grieve the Holy Spirit. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed. 1 Corinthians 1:13, Paul says, in whom ye trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You were saved by the work of the Holy Ghost. And then you were sealed. It says, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God has promised. He has promised you. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, don't let nobody tell you you can lose your salvation. You are sealed with the Holy Ghost. And if God seals you, can't no man break it. And you can't break no seal from inside. And if you seal, you better rest assured that the Holy Ghost ain't going to hell. And if you seal with the Holy Ghost, that's set in stone. sealed until the day of redemption. Nobody sitting around here filled with the Holy Ghost worried about nothing. But don't grieve the Holy Spirit by being a knucklehead and giving place to the devil. That grieves the Holy Spirit when God's people, blood bought, give place to the devil. Somebody come to you with that devil language, you ought to know it. The Bible says resist the devil. James said in James 4:8, resist the devil. And he will flee. That word resist means stand against it. Don't listen to it. Resist the devil. Let all bitterness. He's in review now. Paul said, let all bitterness. Let all bitterness. And wrath. And anger. And clamor. And evil speaking. Be put away from you. Just get this stuff away from me. Get it away. And not only that, take your malice with you. Take it all away from you. This is Paul just summarizing the whole chapter. This is summary statement. Get it all away, but let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Now I know some of y'all will be arguing in the parking lot. Think about this message. Put it away from you. Put it away from you. Replace it with kindness. Look what he says in verse 32 as I finish up. He says, and be ye kind one to another. One to another. We all say by grace through faith and not of ourselves. None of us got nothing we earned or worked for. Don't let nobody tell you got to work for your salvation. Because if you work for it, how will you ever know when you have done enough work? You can't work for God's gift. You can't work for it. It's a gift. He said, be kind one to another. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. How about that? I say that all the time. You got somebody you need to forgive today. Forgive them. It's going to be hard to get to heaven with unforgiving sins. You know, we tell the story about the man at the wedding feast. He went to the wedding feast and customary they give you a gown to wear. When you come into in that day they give you a gown. You come into the wedding feast, they give you a gown. Can't go in there with your own stuff on. Everybody has the same gown. They give you a white gown, a blue gown, whatever. Maybe purple. One man got in there and he didn't have no gown on. And the master of the ceremonies seen him right away. So you ain't got no right stuff on. Amen. They cast him out. Amen. The Bible says the everlasting darkness. You have to be dressed in the forgiveness of sins. You have to be dressed in forgiveness and righteousness and holiness. Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Do you love like that? I know that's supernatural. That's a supernatural love. To love like that. To love someone knowing what you have been delivered from. Knowing what God has delivered you from. It's hard for me to believe that you can be saved and be so evil and mean toward folks when God has blessed you and delivered you. Listen, we talked about stress earlier. I'm done with stress. We need to be like donkey. But listen, I know I ain't say it right. I'm not going to say it right either. I don't think Ray told me, showed me how to say it right. Listen. How's your spiritual walk? That's a great question. How is your spiritual walk? So I know some of y'all in here. I know some of y'all in here, you get a headache, your blood pressure go up, your sugar, you run into the hospital, you get an MRIs and CAT scans and chest x-rays and colonoscopies every 3 years. But when is the last time? When is the last time you had a spiritual checkup? When is the last time you went to Dr. Jesus and said, Dr. Jesus, my spirit is just messed up. I just don't feel like I have the Holy Ghost anymore. My mouth is foul. I'm watching stuff that I shouldn't watch on TV and on the internet. I'm cussing out my grandmama and my parents. I ain't doing good in school. I ain't doing good on my job. I just don't feel like I got the Holy Ghost no more. I need a spiritual checkup. And Dr. Jesus said, stick out your tongue. Stick out your tongue. That's the first thing you check. Oh, that thing is bad. That thing is bad. He said, you need to clean that thing up. What you been eating? Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, I've been watching Fox News and CNN, and I've been watching some girly movies, and oh, that's why your heart messed up. Okay? And the doctor, doesn't it bother you? Does it even bother you when you watch TV and folk cuss? No, it don't even bother me no more. I'm almost immune to that. He said, you know, your system is shutting down on you. Then doctor takes that stethoscope out and puts it on your chest and checks your breathing. You've been getting angry a lot, huh? Because you're breathing hard all the time. Your heartbeats are irregular. You might have a murmur or something. And then he asks you those questions. And look at this examination. Found in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Here's what Jesus said. Examine yourself. Take a self-examination. Whether you be in the faith. He said, examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Are the things of God sweet to you? Is the word of God sweet to you? How much time do you spend studying God's word? And I don't mean coming to Bible study or Sunday school, but in your personal time. How much time do you spend reading God's word? Take that self-examination. Is the word of God sweet to you? Is it still revealing truth to you? Prove your own selves. See, it's not up to the pastor. It's not up to me to sit here and examine you. The word of God says, examine yourself. Amen. Examine yourself. I got to examine me. Mm-hmm. Listen. Know ye not your own selves? Know you not your own selves? You know what you're doing. You know how you feel when the word of God is preached. You know what time it is. Listen. Examine yourself, people. Whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus is in you. You're going to tell me that you cannot tell if Jesus is in you? I don't know if I got the Holy Spirit. Listen, yes you do. If you have to ask, you don't have it. Okay? You know when you're sick. Just like you know when your blood pressure up or your sugar up, you will know. You know when you got vertigo. You know when your foot hurts. You know when you got the gout. Listen. Paul said, the only way you don't know, except you be reprobate. Young people say, what's that mean? Get out of the dictionary. Good for nothing. Troublemaker. A rascal. Scallywag. Seen that one come up. A scoundrel. That's what a reprobate is. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you may be reprobate. It ain't no reprobates in heaven, folks. Let's get a spiritual checkup today.